Hey, everybody, check this out. Dickies, the number one brand in performance workwear, knows that work is more than just what you do. It's who you are. And just like pro athletes, your work is judged by how you perform on that job. That's why Dickies FlexWork pants and shirts are engineered to give you superior mobility, advanced protection, and enhanced durability. Plus, Dickies Flex is backed with Dickies Unconditional Satisfaction Guarantee, so you know that the Flex Series is made to work as hard as you do. Dickies Flex, engineered to move, engineered to last. You can learn more at Dickies.com. Once again, Dickies.com. Welcome to the Jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Tuesday morning to you. Nice to have you here. What's going on? Hope you're having a good day. We are broadcasting from the Quicken Loans Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. All right, so I think I'll lay out the show for you if you don't mind. Starting with your telephone number, like I do every single day at this time, I'm trying to get you to call in. Yesterday, we had some very good calls. Maybe that momentum will carry over to today. Maybe it jumps the day. Let's find out. 1-800-636-8686. I would love for you to follow me on Twitter. 1.35 mil do. You should too. Hit me up at Jim Rome. I read tweets on the air every single day. In fact, it's a great way to interact with the program. I do a take. Sometimes I don't finish the take. You tweet at me. Hey, Rome, great take. Hey, Rome, worst take ever. Hey, Rome, why won't you take my phone call? Hey, do whatever you want. It's Twitter. I have never blocked anybody, and I never will. If it ever happens, it's inadvertent. So hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email address, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this. Coming up next segment, Green Bay Packers linebacker Blake Martinez. Next hour, John Morosi, an MLB reporter for Fox Sports and MLB Network. In hour number three, Dana White, UFC president. Conor McGregor makes his return to the octagon for the first time in 2 years with his toughest fight to date. So we're looking at that between now and the end of the program. Lots to cover. You've got Major League Baseball, postseason, wild card games, 163rd games, all of that still ahead. But I want to start with the action last night. I want to start actually with some bad news. I've got bad news. I've got worse news. I have even worse news. And I have still worse news than that for Bronco fans. First, the bad news. You just lost to Kansas City 27-23. The worst news, you were jammed by the refs. The even worse news, Patrick Mahomes played his worst game of the season and you still lost. And the still worse news, Patrick Mahomes is a guy you're going to have to deal with twice a year for the next 10 to 15 years. In other words, you better get used to it. You better deal with that. Because for a Chiefs fan or a neutral, there was a lot to like last night. But for a Broncos fan, that was the worst. I mean, yes, they lost. But to add insult to injury, to dump salt into that wound, on 3rd and 7, on the game-winning drive, Patrick Mahomes hits Demetrius Harris for 35 yards. But according to Bronco players, the play should have never even happened, and the refs know it. The play clock appeared to hit zero before that ball was snapped and before the Chiefs picked up the first down. After the game, Brandon Marshall said, quote, "It definitely was at zero. The replay showed that. The ref told us that the ref that was supposed to be watching it just missed it. He told us that. The ref told us the guy that was supposed to be watching the clock just missed it. So maybe he got caught up in watching the game because it was a good game, but you've got to do your job. Come on. That was huge. That was big." End quote. That was big. That was huge. But you know what was even bigger? You know why you lost that game? Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it would have been so much easier and probably felt a hell of a lot better just to pin that on the ref. But the Broncos are not doing that because the Broncos know the truth. They know what they saw, and they know what they're about to see for a long, long time. And he served it up even before the game started. Did you see Mahomes getting loose? You knew it was coming. Did you see that clip of him throwing the football during warmups? There's thinking that this guy's got a big arm. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, check this guy. There's thinking this dude's got a big arm, and then they're seeing him just casually flip footballs from the goal line into the stratosphere. I mean, this guy could take down the sun and the moon with a single throw. He really does have that arm to throw a football over the mountains. And it's not like Denver didn't show up with a great game plan, because they did. They threw everything they had at this guy. They mixed up their coverages. They got pressure. They chased him out of the pocket. And they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and it was still not enough. It was enough to force him into his worst statistical game of the year. It was enough to get him off his spot, but it still wasn't enough, because according to ESPN stats, he threw for 192 yards out of the pocket last night, the most in the last decade. That's how freaky this guy is. And when he had to have it, when he needed it the most, he was at his very best. 13 of 16 in the fourth quarter, 2 touchdown drives. Every time he and the Chiefs should have been dead, he found a way to keep them alive, like being chased out of the pocket on third down with over 3 minutes to go. You don't convert that, Denver probably wins that game. Instead, he stabbed them right in the heart.
Mahomes, arms out, stretch, shotgun snap. He's being pressured, runs to the far side. He throws a left-handed pass. It's caught by Hill. It's caught by Hill on a short pass at the 50 and runs out of bounds for a first down. He pulls a Houdini. What a play by Mahomes.
Nice job, Kenny Stabler. You see this guy? You see this guy switching hands and throwing a left-handed dime. Maybe not a dime, but he got it there, didn't he? My thanks to Westwood One. That's Pat Mahomes, right-handed quarterback, picking up a third down with a left-handed pass, with Von Miller chasing hard and then bringing him down. Like, on the one hand, it's absolutely impressive and unbelievable. And then on the other hand, it's totally believable. It's expected. I mean, were you shocked when you saw that? Knowing this guy, I wasn't. I mean, whatever. Wake me up when this guy can throw a pass telepathically. Then I'll be impressed. Right now, there's nothing this guy can do that would not surprise me. The Chiefs picked up that first down. They commit a couple of penalties. Suddenly, it's second and 30. The drive should have been over at that point. With most quarterbacks, it would have been over at that point. But Mahomes turned a nightmare second down into a manageable third down with a 23-yard completion. So, the left-handed pass might have been the one to get on all the highlight reels, but the conversion was the one that broke Denver. According to The Athletic, Chris Harris Jr. was repeating second and 30, second and 30, as he left the field at the end of the game. Because this is what Mahomes does to you. He takes one of the best corners in the game and leaves him shaking his damn head. You got to do a whole lot to impress Chris Harris Jr. So this guy, if he's walking off the field, repeating the line over and over again, then you've done it. You've scarred one of the best players in the game. And Denver still had a chance to win it, but they missed on a wide-open receiver, and then they ran a hook and ladder, but the damage had already been done. Plenty of chances to win that game, and they couldn't do it. Not because of the refs, not because of their own mistakes, but because of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has his worst statistical game of the year, and he still rips your heart out. Better get used to it, Bronco fans, because he's only 23. Which means, barring something terrible, he will be ruining your weekends for a long, long time. It'll be 2030 or 2035, and he will still be carving up your secondary and leaving your DBs speechless, shaking their damn heads when they walk off the field.
He pulls a Houdini!
1-800-636-8686. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite like this guy. What are your thoughts on last night's game? And where does that leave the rest of the AFC West for the next decade? And yes, Kansas City certainly is not playing a championship caliber D right now. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, because it does. It does. That is not a championship caliber defense. But when you see what they can do offensively, you can't do anything but shake your damn head. Elsewhere, let's talk about the LA Dodgers. I mean, there's what Mahomes did, and then there's what Walker Buehler did. This cat is brass. The rookie showing up the way he did in a must-win situation and shutting down the Rocks the way he did. I want to get into that. As for the Rockies, tough loss. They had that division. They let it get away. They're still alive. Chip and a chair, yo. Chip and a chair. They're still in this thing. What's up, Batman? They're still in this
Batman.
He's Batman. So a chip and a chair. I want to get into the Rockies, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Dodgers. Oh, yeah, the American League and more. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk some basketball, too. Good news for the Boston Celtics. They did not make a key acquisition overnight. However, there is a revelation. Kyrie is no longer a truther. Kyrie has come to his senses. Kyrie pulls his head out of his backside. Kyrie is finally making sense. He is no longer a flat earth truther. Hey, listen, I'm not making light of that. That's important. And I'll tell you why that is important. I saw Alex Trebek trending last night on Twitter. My first thought was, no! No, he was not deceased. He was not dead. He was just doing Trebek things. Pretty funny stuff, which I'll get to a little bit later on. Almost as funny as the American Ryder Cup team finally showing some fight. Too bad they want to give each other the hands. What a freaking disaster. What an unmitigated, unequivocal disaster these guys are. That's coming up a little bit later on, too. Pat Mahomes, though, lots of reaction. This email says, Rome, Patrick Mawut signed bums. That's stupid, Hawk. That's not funny at all. Mahomes, Mabums, it's juvenile. Hey, Rome, have you heard anything yet on how big your role will be in Space Jam 2? After your DeMarcus Tillman analysis on American Vandal, I don't know how they don't give you a major role in that movie. Tyler in Charlotte. Ty, my man, thank you very much. Good looking out. I've not heard. Broham, love your AOL email address. Tyler, dude,
you've got mail.
Own that thing. Keep that AOL address. You have to. Is your blower email a Hotmail account? No, I've not heard yet from Space Jam 2. I'm a little bit surprised. Remember, I'm not going to read for that either. No audition. American Vandal, I've got this up on Twitter right now. It is the new season. I've got a cameo in a certain episode. Pumped up about it. In fact, I'm going to give you the notes on that a little bit later on. That was a blast. But no, I've not heard yet about Space Jam 2. Rome, if I could sum up Patrick Mahomes' ability in one play, it has to be getting forced out the backside of the pocket by one of the NFL's best. Then, one of the NFL's best wraps your legs up, taking you down, so naturally you switch the rock to your left hand and you shot put that thing for a receiver for a first down, all in about 3 seconds. That is some gunslinger stuff, Jim. Except the Dilla Killer wouldn't have rolled out so quickly. It took Mahomes less time to think to do that than it did for the Broncos to draw up that embarrassing varsity blues oop-de-oop. But I guess when you get rocket flexed that hard, your brain cells probably aren't firing right. Expect the Chiefs to drop 2 games this year on their way to a Super Bowl ring. They get that defense going, they don't lose any. Shane and SLO. Easy, Shane. Easy, Shane. I mean, what you said about Mahomes is right. Hey, Van Smack, Mahomes will be around a lot longer than I will. Signed, Dirk Cutter. Cutter said that everybody on the field should be fired, himself included. Hey, Dirk, I'm not one to argue. I'm not one to take food off your table, but I'm not one to argue. You said it, not me. Hey, Jim, I can throw a football over the mountains because I can see over them. Signed, Mike Glennon. That is the first giraffe reference we've had in a long time. The Glennon giraffe family. Remember that whole thing? When I got rid of the rat family, well, years and years ago, a number of you said, hey, Rome, that's fine. We get it. The rat family is inappropriate. Why don't we have a raff family? And then all of a sudden you want me to put it in and start it off with Mike Glennon. And then you try to put my guy Merton Hanks in. Never. And then you want me to chase Merton Hanks' induction with Willie McGee. Personal appearances are not show fodder, which is why Steve Grogan is not going into the so-called Raff family. And one of my favorite guys ever from back in the day, I used to love putting him on this show, and another tremendous blast from the past. You want the president of the Raft family to be Harvey Williams. Never. Never. In fact, I have a connection to most of those guys. Merton Hanks, Harvey Williams, none to Mike Lennon, none to Steve Grogan. But still, there is no Rat family and there is no Raff, giraffe, Raff family. Get me out of here, Alvin. Blake Martinez coming up next. Stop doing it. There's not one reason you should be emailing me about Mike Lennon. Not one. Are you ready for the cold months ahead? Winter months can present many challenges for your vehicle. There are a lot of things to do when winterizing your car. Do you have enough antifreeze? Check. Tire pressure? Check. Wiper blades and fluids? Check. Heaters and defrosters? Are they working properly? Check. Do you have emergency road supplies? Check. You also should have lubricant ready for latches, hinges, door locks, weather stripping. What is the one thing that you do not want to forget? Your battery. Very cold vehicles can reduce battery power by up to 50%. And when it's cold, your engine needs more current from the battery to get started. Remember, car batteries give little notice before they die out. 1 out of 4 batteries will fail this winter. 1 out of 4, it's a given. Make sure yours is not one of them. Get yours tested for free during Superstar Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstar Battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm still looking for a good telephone call. Or if you're on hold, hang in there. We have plenty of time for those phone calls. Right now, though, as promised, we are joined by a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. 9 tackles and a sack in Sunday's win over Buffalo. 33 tackles, a sack, and 2 passes defense this season. He had an enormous year last year, credited with 158 tackles. You might recall he was a first-team All-Pac-12 player at Stanford. He was the 131st pick in the 2016 draft. Packers at Detroit on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. Linebacker Blake Martinez is my guest. Blake, great to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, Blake. Thanks so much. So you had a sack, and the defense as a whole sacked Josh Allen 7 times in Sunday's 22-0 win over the Bills. Buffalo gave Minnesota a lot of problems. So what was your mindset, Blake, going into that game Sunday?
No, yeah. I mean, we looked over the tape from the Minnesota Bills game the week prior and looked at what he was able to do with his athleticism, extending plays, and we just kind of, as a defense, knew, hey, every single play we have our given job responsibility, and as long as we can do that, we can contain them and get them on the ground as long as our coverage units are doing well, and you saw that on Sunday.
Linebacker Blake Martinez of the Packers joining us. That was Green Bay's first shutout, actually, since 2010. Look, I know you're never going to say that you played a perfect game, and you're always going to be looking to learn and improve upon something, but do you feel like that was a performance where everything did click for the defense?
Oh, yeah, and I think we kind of looked at the prior 3 games where we were inconsistent on multiple fronts, whether it's first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, overtime. And going into this game, we just knew, hey, we're going to start fast. And as the game progressed, we kind of started clicking as a defense and got that shutout at the end of the game.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting what Aaron Rodgers said afterwards. He said after the game, quote, "We were championship defense level and non-playoff team level on offense," end quote. You know, the quarterback's always going to be his toughest critic, his own toughest critic. What did you make of that statement when you heard that?
No, yeah, I mean, you obviously, for me, I take the positives of it. Saying that we're a championship-level defense, obviously you want to keep that going. You don't want to be a one-week wonder. And then, obviously, on the offensive side, you kind of just, you leave it to them. Obviously, 12 has the capabilities of doing amazing things and correcting a lot of things as we move forward in the season.
Blake Martinez joining us. So you're 2-1-1 through the first 4 games. I mean, if you had to say, you're probably still learning about yourselves and about what the team is. If you had to determine or say what the team's identity at this point is, do you have a sense of how good this team is and what its upside is?
No, yeah, I think we have a lot of upside. I think there's a lot of potential for us. And you saw that last game. I think our big kind of characteristic is just our play style and our energy out there. I think every single one of us, no matter who it is, and I speak for the defensive side, whoever's out there is going to give it their all. And you know that when we are out there, people are going to do the right things at the right time, and we have a lot of trust within each other.
So you've got new defense with Mike Pettine. How would you describe his approach to defense, and what's it like playing in that scheme now?
Oh, this scheme is awesome. It's a middle linebacker's dream. I have a lot of freedom pre-snap to kind of get us into checks and just, stunts, things to allow us to kind of have that positive on a play and get those negative plays in the backfield, TFL, sacks, those types of things to allow our back end to not have to cover so long.
Blake Martinez, my guest. You know, Blake, I mentioned your stats last year. You're already in your third season, but you're already being looked to as a veteran and a team leader. How do you approach that role, and what's that feel like?
No, yeah, and it was interesting this year. I think after Jake Ryan went out, we had me and six other rookies in our room, and it came to the point where I was the guy with the wisdom, as you'd say, and guys started coming to me asking me questions. Hey, Blake, what do you see on this? How did you play this? And it was pretty cool, and I used that as a good stepping point for me going into the season and just kind of carrying it through as we go through these 16 games.
Packers linebacker Blake Martinez joins me for a few more moments. And, of course, one of the biggest talking points around the league from a defensive standpoint has been the enforcement of the roughing the passer penalties. Clay Matthews, your teammate, has been on the receiving end of multiple flags. It seems like every time he's flagged, he's trying to be as safe as he possibly can be. So what do you make of the rule and the way it's being enforced?
Yeah, it's an interesting rule. I think, obviously, it's more pass rush guys, obviously, I'm starting to get into that, which I like. But I think overall they're doing better. I know last game there was moments where we hit the quarterback and refs would come up to us and say, hey, great hit. That's exactly what we're looking for. So we're starting to get more and more examples of what they want. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting how it keeps growing and whether it's going to decrease the chances of getting called or – I don't know, protecting defensive players from having that crucial call late in the game to either end the game that you don't want it to be or prolong the game into overtime like we've seen.
I think that's fair. I think you're right. So bottom line, do you have a sense right now of what will and will not draw a flag these days? Are you clear on that?
No, yeah. I think it's starting to get more clear. I think there's still going to be more times where you have to see and understand what certain refs are going to call and what certain refs aren't going to call. But for the most part, I think our mentality is, hey, hit the quarterback and roll to the side and bring him down with you, whether he's throwing the ball or he has the ball in his hands.
Blake, I think most fans look at you and other professional athletes and forget that there's a whole world. I think you have a whole life off the field as well. You have a whole life when you leave the facility. And this offseason, you celebrated the arrival of your daughter, Kinsley. What was it like to welcome her into the world, and what have the first few weeks been like?
Oh, it was an unreal experience. I mean, you bring it up and I get chills. It's crazy. You grow up so fast when she entered this world, and the weeks have been interesting is the best way I could put it. I mean, she poops, eats, and sleeps, and cries a lot. But it's always worth it whenever you get her to smile, and she's starting to smile and talk, and it's just the greatest thing that I've been a part of.
Good for you. It is the greatest thing, honestly. Now, you're also regarded as one of the best gamers in the NFL. Let me ask you this. How'd you first get started playing Dota?
Yeah, so that's an interesting story. I was actually relaxing in my dorm. I had five other roommates, and I was laying on the ground. All of a sudden, everyone's running into our dorm room. I think we had like 10 guys, and they all set up their laptops and are playing. And I was honestly stretching and watching film for the next week's game. And all my buddies were like, dude, you got to play this game with us. Like, and I was like, no, guys, like I'm not about that. I stopped playing games. And then all of a sudden, one day, I was like, okay, I'm just going to test it out. And my buddy made an account for me, and I was hooked ever since.
That's funny. You're like, not about that life. You have no time for that. And then you wade back in. All right, so, and then above and beyond that, you're also a spokesperson for the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation, the Packers versus Cancer campaign. What's it mean to be a part of that?
Oh, it means everything. When they gave me the opportunity to talk, it was awesome to see what they're doing and all the things that they're kind of providing for fans and for people to kind of get a part of this cause and be a part of a a productive movement to get 100% success rate on curing cancer and doing those types of things. I know when we went through the press conference, they talked about how it was 55% and now it's up to 80%. So it's just awesome to see those types of movements. And I know when you have an organization like the Packers backing something like that, a lot of people are going to start to kind of step in and contribute as well.
You know, finally, even as somebody, Blake, as young as you, you go through that, you see that, you've seen and done a lot of things already. We could talk about all the honors you've received over the course of your career. However, is there anything that compares to having a bottle of Tabasco sauce that was bottled for you and is your private stock?
Yeah, that was probably top five at least. it was pretty cool. I know it was just out of nowhere. I think I was commenting on some other person's tweet and saying how Tabasco and soy sauce is the best thing for sushi. And then all of a sudden I get this DM from Tabasco and says, hey, do you want some Tabasco sauce? I was like, sure. And then next thing I know, it shows up my door. It has Blake Martinez, number 50. It was pretty cool.
Hey, Blake, I'm more of a Cholula than a Tabasco guy.
Oh, no.
All right, so lay this out for me. Number one, why am I wrong there? And Tabasco and soy sauce for sushi?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Okay, so I can't take the credit for it. So my wife, she did it, and I had the same response. I was like, what? Like, why?
Right.
And then all of a sudden I tried it. If you like spicy food or anything, it literally makes sushi 1,000 times better.
Dude, I love spicy. I'm just not a big, big Tabasco guy. Were you prior to that? Like, did you like Tabasco already?
Yeah, I like Tabasco, but like you said, Cholula, I mean, I give you crap for it, but I think it all depends on what type of food you're eating. I like Tabasco on, like, breakfast food. I eat Cholula on, like, any dinner-type food that I want to add spice to.
See, I hit Cholula with everything. Well, not everything, but breakfast and dinner.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we agree to disagree. You are a Stanford man. I'm not going to mess with you. You're smarter than me. You got a better school, I guess. But we agree to disagree. Either way, Blake, I think that's awesome. I will try it. You got to keep an open mind, right? You got to do these things.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Packers at Lions on Sunday. I think that's awesome. Blake Martinez, my guest. Blake, great to have you on. Thank you very much. And I'm sure now we will have a conversation about that. Tabasco and soy sauce. Good job, Blake.
Yep. It'll Talk be a good soon, battle man. For us.
You got it, man. You got it. Take care. All right, that's awesome. He's a really sharp dude now, Blake Martinez. I've never thought about that. I mean, I play that straight. My sushi, I play that thing straight. Wasabi, soy sauce. I like a lot of wasabi. I like it hot. You know, like when it blows out your nostrils. I like that. Tabasco and soy sauce? But then again, I don't put Tabasco on anything. Nothing against Tabasco. I'm not here to hate Team Tabasco or Tabasco. I'm not anti Tabasco Nation. I am Cholula Honk Nation, though. I like Cholula a lot. Breakfast, Mexican food. But then again, I'm not a guy that hits, like, all foods with sauce either. Well, we're going off the rails now. All right, so are you a part of Tabasco Nation? I want to hear from somebody that uses Tabasco. How do you use it? When do you use it? How often do you use it? And would you ever consider mixing it with soy sauce the way that young man just said? Blake Martinez, Stanford man, all Pac-12, baller, father. I don't know. Now, I did say that I would try it, but that's a lie. I'm never trying that. I'm not doing that. Why would I do that? Tabasco and soy sauce. He said, I said it myself. It sounded horrible until I did it. Okay. How about this? Has anybody done that besides the Martinez's? If so, hit me up. Let me know. Lots of baseball still ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Le'Veon Bell apparently is going to come back to the Steelers for the bye week. How do you think that goes? Do they take him back? Will they be happy to see him? Will he make a difference? Is he going to get hurt? How does that play out? Let's get you a sports update. If you've been waiting on that, here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, open phones for the next hour. Ed Hetzfrom Bacon tweets, Tabasco on sushi? That's just wrong. Sign, people who put ketchup on their steak. That's not what Blake Martinez said. He did not say Tabasco on sushi. He said Tabasco mixed with soy sauce. There's a difference. It's not like he's saying dump Tabasco on your California roll. He's saying mix Tabasco with soy sauce. Like everybody else, not to be like such a nonconformist. I just go wasabi and soy sauce. It just seemed pretty natural. I like it. It works. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, 10 guys in a dorm room video gaming. That's not what we do. Sign Jay's do.
I just put two and two together that Jason Stewart is Jason from Fullerton, the old caller. I go out with a buddy of mine, my JV coach at the time, who went to Fullerton, and he's a buddy of Jason's and a couple of his friends. We go over to this house on a Friday night, and Jason and about 10 guys are sitting in a room watching porno, and he's bragging about how he's this caller on your show. And I never met a more pathetic group of losers. We're going out looking for chicks, and they're watching porno with guys.
It's an amazing telephone call. Again, Alvin, I hate to keep asking you this question when things like that happen, but what year was that? CBS's Super Bowl season. If you can get back to me with an answer this year, that'd be great. What year was that? CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday. Jacksonville and Kansas City. Denver and the Jets. Baltimore and Cleveland in an AFC North showdown. Miami and Cincinnati. Tennessee heading north to battle Buffalo. And out here, you've got Oakland going up against the Chargers. The day does kick off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks. I'm going back to New York this weekend to appear in studio on the NFL on CBS. And hyped on that. Can't wait to get back. That soundbite of that guy saying, I put the two and two together. Jay Stu is Jason from Fullerton. That was from 2006.
With a guy.
That feels even older than that to me. That feels like something that happened in the 90s. Either way. All right, I do want to talk about the LA Dodgers getting it done, winning the West again. Yeah, maybe that's not enough. But given where they were, given that they were 10 games under 500 earlier this season, given that they were left for dead about a week ago, you could see why they were celebrating as hard as they were. My thoughts on that in a minute, but let's go to the phones. We go to Louisiana. Argel. I know for a fact nobody named Argel has ever called this show. What a cool name. Argel in Louisiana. Argel, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jim. It's pronounced Argel. It's French. And so I live about 20 minutes from the Tabasco factory down in South Louisiana. And I think they used to make a Tabasco soy sauce. I don't know if they discontinued it because I can't find it anywhere, but it's awesome. You've got to try it again with your sushi. I'm with you on the Cholula for scrambled eggs, but you got to give Tabasco and soy sauce another shot.
Or even a first shot. All right. Number one, I did not know. Argel, thank you so much. That's great. So she lives by the factory and said that they actually used to make the combination of the two. I didn't know they combined those two things. All right. So that's me. I'm just being naive. That was the first I had ever heard of that. My reaction to that was very similar to the first time I saw my wife dip her popcorn in her Pepsi in a movie theater. All right. And Argel said, hey, this is not unusual. In fact, they used to make that. They used to actually combine the two. The two were a thing. This is not just something you do. It was done for you. All right. Hey, I'm up for it. I love sushi. Love sushi. I'm up for that. I'll try that. I may, in fact, owe Blake Martinez an apology. But I'll tell you this. I'm not apologizing for Cholula. I'm not changing that. All right. I'm not changing that. I'm still going to use that in the morning. I'm going to still use that for certain things at night for dinner. Anybody else want to dial me in? Am I missing anything else? Now, if you played 162 games and you need to play another to decide the division, you probably do not want a rookie on the mound for game number 163, unless you're the LA Dodgers and that rookie is Walker Buehler, because Walker Buehler is brass as hell And no, I'm not really interested in your Ferris nicknames or your Walker Los Angeles Dodger nicknames, because this dude is no joke. In the 23rd and biggest start of his major league career, Buehler went huge. I mean, monstrous. Armed with 99-mile-per-hour heat. This guy carries a no-hitter into the sixth. He allows one hit. He leaves after 6 2/3 of shutout ball. I mean, there's a clutch performance, and then there's what that guy did in LA's 5-2 win that wrapped up a sixth consecutive divisional title. And he was doing it against a Rockies team that is tough as hell. Absolute nails. They had won 9 of their last 10 heading into yesterday. They went from being dead in the water to holding that division lead for 3 days. Colorado's tough. Really tough. Walker Buehler is just tougher. He dominated a lineup that had been averaging nearly 9 runs per game. He shut them out. He drove in a run on his own. We're talking about a guy who had arm troubles. We're talking about somebody who had Tommy John surgery after only 5 professional innings. And now he's out there in the biggest game of the season dealing like that. It's incredible. But don't take my word for it. Ask Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw said, quote, "I can't say enough good things about him. You just have to say it behind his back so he doesn't get too big of a head. But it's really a special thing to watch him pitch. His talent level is just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Some of the best stuff I've ever witnessed." This is one of the best to ever do it. A guy with some of the best stuff that anybody has ever witnessed saying that the rookie has some of the best stuff he's ever witnessed. But there is having great stuff, and then there's knowing how to use it. And then being able to use it in a situation like that with the division on the line and all the pressure that comes along with it. To pull that off, you need, well, Justin Turner can take it from there. Quote, "I don't know if I can say this on air, but a huge set of balls." Pretty much. That's correct. Buehler does have that. And if you need further proof, check out that 1.55 ERA in his last 12 starts. Check out the fact. The whole Dodger team has benefited from this, including their manager. Remember Dave Roberts said that the Dodgers would do this? Remember when Dave Roberts, who's been under fire, and people have been suggesting that if he doesn't get it done this year, it may cost him his gig. That Dave Roberts. He called his shot early in the season, and after the game, when a reporter reminded him of what he said back in May, Roberts corrected him and said April 29th. You see, this is how good Dave Roberts is. Yes, when you've got the roster that they have, you're expected to win that division. But he said it when they were below 500 and in the middle of a losing streak. They then chased that losing streak with another streak that took them 10 games under 500. And yet here they are, again, NL Western champs. Yeah, I get it. They've got a big payroll. But if it were that easy, everybody would do it. Everybody would just throw money at it. Instead, the Dodgers are just the sixth team in history to go from 10 games below 500 to winning their division. And they did it with their closer dealing with a heart issue, their ace dealing with a back issue, and they lost their star shortstop for the season. And they still did it because, like Buehler, they've got talent. And what else? What else, Justin? Quote, "I don't know if I can say this on the air, but a huge set of balls," end quote. Of course, it's not enough. It helps. It's not enough. But remember, look, I'm not saying that this is good enough. It's not. This team was not just built to win divisional championships. And here in LA, it has been way too long since their last World Series. And if this era ends with no World Series rings, it'll be a major disappointment to the Dodgers and this town. But that doesn't mean that 6 straight divisional titles mean nothing. Hey, listen, it's not a perfect team. They still have questions about the back of the bullpen. And no Dodger fan likes seeing Kenley Jansen give up a pair of bombs in the ninth. But I'm telling you, this team is good. The Dodgers are really nice. They've got arms. They've got bats. And like Justin Turner said, they've got a big sack. Starting with that rook. Starting with that rook. Hey, they're feeling it now. You ask Yasiel Puig. Ask Yasiel Puig how deep of a run this team can make this postseason.
We're going for more. Hey, Atlanta, I see you soon, baby. And the next one, Chicago, Colorado, no matter who's going, we're going to beat it. And we're going to the World Series again. And this time, we're going to win the World Series. 2018, the big party is here in Los Angeles. Hey, you know what? Toes down, baby. No question for him. I'm winning.
Yasiel calling his shot. We are going to the World Series, and we are winning. He called his shot. Buehler also, after the game, was feeling it. I'll have that for you. At Steven98H tweets, Jim, my name is Steven. It's pronounced like Steven. I know, I thought I nailed her name, but she corrected me. It's not Argel, it's Argel.
It's not Ryan, it's Ryan.
I'm sorry. John Morosi, next hour. Dana White in the third hour. Let's bring it right back.